Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. E4.
Hey guys, what is up? Welcome to E4 episode 2. It feels like we've been doing this all day. We're just on episode 2. We are finding technology to be frustrating. Okay. I'm Tommy, that's Jamie, but we're here.
So we're two guys that do this in our spare time. And we realize that it shows. But ladies and gentlemen, this man over here, and I'm going to use a word I don't normally use. This man over here this afternoon has worked his ass off. And nothing is actually working.
We're getting close. So we think we've got something that's workable here. We're going to try it and figure out what happened. So all that said, it is E4. We are talking Microsoft in this show. Technically, Xbox and Bethesda. It was the joint Xbox and Bethesda press conference. And so we will cover that in some detail momentarily. We weren't super impressed. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. Before that, though, man, how you doing? It's good to be sitting right next to you. I'm using your armrest as an armrest.
Yeah. It's good to be here. I'm glad we're here. We're in my house.
Yes. Lovely Jamie's house with the fridge back here. If you're watching us on video.
Yes, in another random location. We're currently sitting in my living room. I hope nobody shows up while we're doing this. Because I'm pretty sure that everybody would freak out. We have cables strung everywhere.
It's wild. Yeah.
So the reason that I'm telling you all of that is that may be the most interesting part of this episode. So we're jaded gamers and we're old. And we understand that and we're okay with it. And apparently nobody else on the internet is like us.
Yeah, so let me set the stage a little bit, because we were late getting to the Xbox conference because I was driving here, and so it started while I was driving, and so we both didn't look up anything about it, weren't expecting anything about it. When I got here, we just sat down, we turned it on, we hadn't checked Twitter, hadn't looked at anything, and so we went in with kind of no expectations. Not knowing what was going to happen and just experiencing it for the first time. And we were kind of meh on it. It wasn't awful. It wasn't good. But then I pop on Twitter after we get done watching it, and everybody's like freaking out over how great the Xbox Bethesda thing was and all these games and on and on. And I don't quite get it. I mean, it was fine. Go ahead. Then I'll give you my take on it that we talked about a little bit before.
Here's the thing. And I noticed this yesterday because I was watching stuff yesterday, waiting on him to get here. Everything I've seen so far in E3, not just this conference, but E3 in general, is the only word I can come up with is overscripted. Like, it's all overscripted. Like, they're trying so hard to, like, be cool and be hip. And it's just not working. And we're Jamie and Tommy. We're weird. We're sad. Like, nothing I say is going to reflect anything that you see on the internet. Because everybody is pretty cool on the internet. I'm not feeling that way right now. So
yeah, that's fair. And so my take on it, and we talked about this a little bit while we were watching it, is it's a lot of games that it's awesome that they're going to be on Game Pass because we wouldn't play them any other way, right? Like, it's a lot of games that look fine, that look like, oh yeah, I would spend a little bit of time with that. Maybe it would capture me. But outside of a few exceptions, there's just not games in here that I would pay for. And that's an interesting thing, because that's kind of what Microsoft is doing, right? Like, I don't know that they hate me saying that, because Game Pass is their thing. Like, the Bethesda titles, we'll talk about a couple of Bethesda titles, they're coming to Game Pass day one. I don't have to pay $70 for them. They're just going to be on Game Pass. And so that's kind of what they're trying to do. And so there's a bunch of those games. So
I'm having a thought now that you're talking about this. I wonder what the Game Pass numbers are. Like, I wonder how many people are paying for Game Pass.
Yeah.
Because to me, the entire press conference was geared towards, here's why you need to be paying for Game Pass. But we're already paying for Game Pass. Like, you know, like, they got us.
Yeah.
Like,
They got to keep us too. We could cancel at any point. According to this, it's 23 million current subscribers.
See, it's
to
Game not Pass. A lot. It's not a
That's
lot.
It's pretty significant. Well, 23 million is a lot.
But I mean,
like, what game sells 23 million copies?
Put that next to World of Warcraft. Or, like, I mean, it's a lot, but it's. I don't know. It just feels to me like the whole thing is, this is why you need to be on Game Pass.
Yeah. Let's see here if I can find peak World of Warcraft number. This is still not peak. That's from before. Hey, allow all cookies. I don't care. it's not that helpful. Current number of World of Warcraft subscribers looks to be about 4.5 million. So
yeah,
okay. So 23 million, but that's current. Of course, World of Warcraft isn't in its heyday like it was 10 years ago or whatever.
Right.
But I still contend 23 million, pretty significant number.
It's a lot of people.
It's a big number.
But I just feel like we're on Game Pass, and whatever games on Game Pass. The problem with Game Pass is that there's too many games on Game Pass.
Right.
there's one right now that I want to play, and that's the new Outer Worlds, which we'll get to in a little bit. But the whole reason I started paying for Game Pass was for Outer Worlds. And I will, they gave me a reason to continue paying for it. All of this other stuff, it's cool, but it's just other stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's stuff you might play.
Yeah.
Some of it we said, oh, yeah, we'll pick that up because we have Game Pass that we otherwise wouldn't pick up. And again, it's just a weird thing because that's not what I'm looking for in my video games. I'm looking for something that's like, I must have.
I must play it, yes.
And there wasn't much, really anything I would say that we saw. No, I take that back. There was a couple of the indie titles that were like, oh, yeah, we got to play that. And Obsidian. We'll get to Obsidian. Yeah. Obsidian did a good job. That said, let's go through the press conference kind of just note by note pretty briefly. We'll speed through it. They showed 30 games, 27 of which they were very intentional of saying will be on Game Pass day one. And so, again, Game Pass is their thing. That's the future of Xbox. We're not getting away from that. They started with Bethesda. Of course, this E3 is the first of Xbox and Bethesda being in the same company. And so the first thing they talked about was Starfield, which is we knew they were going to talk about. They didn't expect it to be the very first thing out of the gate. What we got was a teaser that is gorgeous, but tells us nothing. Right? Like, it told us a release date, which is November next year, which neither one of us remotely believed to be true. And then it was some, you know, pretty visuals, but it was just rendered video. There wasn't any sense of gameplay. So, I don't know what the game's about.
So I have the camera in front of me, and I keep trying to look at the camera, but now I'm going to look at you because we have this
kind of communication thing here.
Because here's the thing with Starfield. What they showed looks awesome.
Yeah.
Right?
Beautiful.
It's really great. But that's exactly what we said about No Man's Sky.
Yes.
Like, it's pretty much part and parcel the exact same way that I felt about No Man's Sky. And that's terrifying.
Yeah. I think to a degree, the fact that it's Bethesda, that for the most part has a good track record.
Yeah.
There are exceptions to that. Fallout 76 is something that popped up in here too.
Yeah.
That's probably not great. But I just need to know what it is. Like, you can't get me excited about it. Like, there's nothing about that Starfield teaser that got me excited. The release date didn't get me excited because I don't believe it for a second. It's not going to be here next year. If you don't have enough to show us, like, what the game is about, about, you know, outside of this kind of idea of space exploration and this is man and its final voyage kind of thing that they're talking up, which is all cool. Like, I like the concept of that. Mm-hmm. Are there aliens? Are there monsters? Like, what are we running into when we get on this spaceship? Like, there's just nothing else there. Is it going to play like a Fallout game? Is it going to play like an Elder Scrolls game? Like, what in the world is it?
Can I give you a guess? Because I thought this a couple of times while I was watching it. They're trying to get the original Mass Effect feel thing. I'm talking about the first game that only we liked.
that was RPG-ish. Yeah,
that's what they're trying to get. It's that.
Maybe.
And I'm okay with that, but we already played that.
Yeah. The kind of vibe that I got from it was like Interstellar-ish. Yeah. Right? Christopher Nolan, like that kind of feel to it. Like, not distant future sci-fi, but kind of near future sci-fi.
Right.
But I don't know. We saw a little teaser in the cockpit of a spaceship, and it was pretty, and it didn't tell us anything else. And I just can't walk away from that being excited about it. You know, like, we know Starfield exists. Thank you for giving us 30 seconds of video, but that didn't tell us anything. Like, there's no gameplay. There's nothing. Nope, not much more details. They talked about how it's been, this is the game we wanted to make 25 years ago, and technology's finally here.
And which, by the way, that's what everybody says every year.
And there's going to be a game 5 years from now that they're saying, we wanted to make this game 30 years ago, and the technology's finally... Yeah, of course. The technology gets better. Games get better. That doesn't tell us any... Okay, so that's my rant of Starfield. I'm legit excited about Starfield. I think it's going to be a great game. Sci-fi Bethesda makes me happy. But this wasn't exciting.
So do we want to talk about the pass that they get, or do we want to save that for the very end? Because I think it's everybody as a whole, all the way through E3.
Yeah, go ahead and mention it. I think that's good. I think it's a good context for everything else we're talking about.
Look, everything I've seen so far, I've seen Microsoft. I saw UB yesterday.
We watched Square.
Square.
Seeing a little bit of other things here and there.
And all of them just screamed to me, yeah, we were all dealing with COVID and working from home, and we did not go to work, and this was literally the best that we could do. And we're not going to tell you that, but that's the thing. And anybody who tells you, I have a job in the IT industry, you have a job in the music industry, anybody that tells you that you can legitimately do these creative jobs from your house on a full-time basis is a complete and total liar. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't. It's not possible. Like, we use remote whatever about as well as anybody can use remote whatever for their jobs, but there's just stuff you got to be in the office for.
Yeah, obviously that's taking an impact on everybody. And one of the ways we'll see that through talking through the Microsoft conference is that all these release dates, aside from a handful of games, are next year or farther. Just because development slowed down this past year, because everybody paused for a chunk of time, and when they came back, everybody's working from home, and you don't have the resources at home that you have in an office. If you're in game development, like, you just don't have the same things available. You don't have teams available nearly as easily. There's just stuff. I've been working primarily remotely for years now, not just because of COVID, but with other things as well. And I know those struggles well. Like, I don't run into people in the hallway. That's a really useful thing in a workplace, is just to be able to pull someone aside in a moment and ask them a question that can be answered like that, as opposed to an email, which could hang out there a day or two, and that slows down productivity. And we're seeing just all the signs of that all the way through this. We're going to see that through the rest of E3 too.
And the reason I don't buy anything that we've seen so far as far as date-wise is because even if your entire studio or your entire staff is vaccinated, nobody is back up to full strength. Nobody's going to be back up to full strength until September at least.
Yeah.
Just because that's the time that it takes. I think that everything that we're seeing at this point is everybody's best guess.
Yeah.
And that's
Starfield
all right.
is that.
Yeah.
And I think they're legit, like, think they could pull it off by then. But they can't.
No, you can't.
Like, I see this all the time. It just isn't going to happen. And maybe they prove us wrong. I would be beyond shocked.
So
beyond shocked.
So they can do it, but it'll be Fallout 76.
Yeah, possibly.
I mean, I'm sure it can be done, but it'll be Fallout 76.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that.
That said, let's talk about some of the other games we saw. After Starfield, we got Stalker 2. This is one of the few games that we actually got a little bit of gameplay from. And it wasn't like old school E3 gameplay, which we've seen in some other places. Square Enix did a good job of that with one game we'll talk about later. But nothing in this Microsoft press conference had good gameplay presentation. A couple of games had some gameplay included in the kind of sizzle reel things. But that was a big bummer overall. Stalker did show a little bit of gameplay, so you can at least get a sense of what the game is. It's Stalker. It's one of those games that's like perfectly fine, and it's coming to Game Pass. And so, okay, fire it up because it's on Game Pass, but I'm not excited about it, and it's not one I would go out and buy otherwise.
I think before everybody on Facebook tells us we're crazy, what we want from E3 more than anything else. It's our favorite time of year, but what you and I want from E3 is for somebody to show us something that makes us say, here's my $70 or my $80 or whatever that number is.
Yeah.
Just take it right now. And if you need my first four jobs, you can have that too.
Yeah.
That's what we want. And it's just not here.
Yeah. There wasn't anything here that was that. After Stalker, we got Back 4 Blood, which is the Left 4 Dead people's new game. That's much like Left 4 Dead. I mean, yeah. I don't know how it's like the spiritual successor for Left 4 Dead. Let me also note as we go through these, a lot of these aren't exclusive. No. So, of course, they did make the point, going back to Starfield is going to be exclusive. We knew that already. That kind of leaked out, but that's official. The other Bethesda game they announced in this is going to be exclusive as well. And so that Bethesda thing with exclusivities happening, and no shocker there. And let me mention, too, because we speculated about this, they didn't mention the PlayStation exclusives, Deathloop or Tokyo Wire, whatever it's called. Neither one of those games showed up in the press conference, interestingly enough. Deathloop is in a weird place. I'm interested to see if it shows up at E3 at all, because it looks like such a cool game, but it's a PlayStation exclusive being published by a company that's a subsidiary of Microsoft. And so how do you talk about it? It's just weird.
You can't. And this is one of those, if we could have one interview from this year's E3, if we could get one guy, I would pay money to have the right to talk to Jeff Keighley.
Yeah.
Because Jeff Keighley knows in all of these situations what's going on. He knows kind of the weirdness with each company and kind of how things are playing out. And I think if we talk to him, I think it would change our perspective on what we're seeing. Because I think what we would hear is, no, guys, you don't understand. This is what's going on. And we're really lucky to have what we have, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Next up, we got a little teaser for a new game called Contraband. This is from Avalanche Studio, which did Just Cause 4.
Yeah.
It's a big game. We didn't find out anything about it other than this cool teaser that had like all this audio gear. So we geeked out about that. Yeah. It's an open world co-op something. That's all.
Yeah.
Why is that here? I mean, honestly, like, I'm glad you're working on a game. that counts as one of their 30 games that they're showing. But they didn't show anything. It's just not a, it's not there yet. You know, like, why are you showing us something that you aren't even able to tell us, like, what it is other than it's a co-op open world game? Okay. There's a billion of those, right? Like, yeah. I'm not that excited about that. So after that, we got Battlefield 2042, which, by the way, we just got a big release thing of last week. And so, yeah. News on Battlefield 2042, we didn't talk about in the last year, I don't think, that we had kind of slated. There is no campaign mode for it. It's only multiplayer. Now, the multiplayer is massive on current gen. I'm going to try to make that a point. Current gen is PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. That is the current generation we are on. Last gen is PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Like, we are in the midst of the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X generation. So current gen systems will be able to do 128 players simultaneously in these multiplayer maps, which is insane.
Yeah.
Previous generation, I think it's 64 is the max there, which still is a pretty big map, but 128. It's these massive battlefields. That's the name. But just these massive battlefields with these weather effects. There's a tornado that everybody's been talking about, and it looks cool. But there's no campaign mode, which to me is kind of like whatever. People aren't buying Battlefield for the campaign mode, even though some of the single-player campaigns got a lot of buzz as being pretty good. But that's not why people are getting Battlefield. But it's still $70 on current gen. So you're paying $70 for a multiplayer-only game, which is a lot of money to pay for a multiplayer-only
game. Can we talk about Epic for a second? I'm going to shift gears and talk about Epic for a second. The whole rest of the industry has got to hate Epic right now, because I don't want to pay for a game at this point, because the last two games that I've put money down for have shown up on a Thursday in the Epic Game Store for free. Now, I was glad to put money down, because they're a good company and I want them to keep making games.
Sure.
I'm glad to put money down. But, for example, this week Control is in the Epic Game Store. You can get it for free. And I paid for it at Christmas or whatever. And just to throw some more money at those guys, I bought the season pass for the DLC, which is like $7 or something. But that's part of the problem, is between Game Pass and the Epic Game Store, like, I don't want to pay full price for anything, because I'm probably going to end up with it.
And specifically with Battlefield, this is an EA game, so first of all, it's not exclusive. Secondly, it's going to be on Game Pass eventually.
Yeah.
Like, we know it's not going. This is one of three games, I believe, that aren't going to be on Game Pass at launch, because the EA titles, they get the premium EA plus whatever to get them at launch. But it'll be on Game Pass at some point. So you pay $70 if you want it out the door, or you wait 6 months and you get it for free, or as part of a subscription. I won't say free, but with Game Pass, you get a part of your $10 a month. And that's just like, okay.
Like, I mean, that's. Because I'm looking through the store on Epic and I really want to play Red Dead right now. But I'm like, I'm not paying $70 because they just put Control up, which means Red Dead is coming.
Yeah.
And so it's got to be hard.
Yeah. One of the games we're actually looking forward to is 12 Minutes. We saw this, I think, last year, 2 years ago at E3.
It's been last year and 2 years.
Maybe so.
It's been a while, yeah.
It's been floating around. It has quite the cast. James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, Willem Dafoe are all voice actors in the cast. And so that's pretty great. It's this weird, like, top down of this apartment, and you're, like, playing through whatever is happening in these 12 minutes. It's kind of
thriller, War of Mine. It kind of looks a little bit like This War of Mine a little bit.
It's strange, but it looks cool. It's an Xbox console exclusive, and so console launch exclusive, and will be on Game Pass. So there you go. Psychonauts 2, another one. That's, you know, something that we would get into.
That was
Double Fine's always great. We love Double Fine. Psychonauts was fun. Come into Game Pass. That's cool. Still, it's not like something I'm running out the door to get, but glad it'll be on Game Pass.
I just thought of this. All of the stuff that we're talking about, especially the stuff on Game Pass, stuff like Psychonauts, is all stuff that you and I would really like to play, but we don't have any interest, either one of us, I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, in playing it unless we're sitting in the same room.
Yeah.
If we were where I would like to be with this show and spending 6 hours a day, 5 days a week working on content for this show, we'd play all this stuff and it would be a blast. I mean, we'd have a blast with Psychonauts, but I don't want to play with that by myself.
Yeah.
That's a in the same room laugh at all the stupid jokes game.
Yeah.
Like, it just is.
Yeah.
Am I wrong at all?
No, not at all. I agree 100%. It's a great thing of Game Pass that it'll be available there. But yeah. Party Animals, which looks very Fall Guys-ish to me. It's like this battle physics-based thing with like these stuffed animals.
Yeah.
It's on Game Pass. Somerville, which looks very much like Limbo or Inside. Yeah. And obviously, it's to the point that I was wondering if it's the same developer. I haven't figured that out yet. But this kind of 2D side-scrolling, not quite horror, but almost horror, psychological weirdness kind of thing going on with these really dark and silhouetted environments. And maybe of everything we saw, it's the thing I most want to play.
Because it's intriguing.
It is intriguing. Right?
It really is intriguing. It's like, ooh, what's that?
What is that? And it's like, I don't know what the story is, but it's interesting. It's a family dynamic, which now us getting older, like that interests me. I have a kid, like now family dynamic kind of video game stuff is like, okay, like I could get into that. So apparently the game is being developed by former members of the team that did Inside and Limbo. So not the same developer, but people who were on that development team are making this game. It's called Somerville, if I didn't mention that. I think I mentioned that. So anyway, that looks cool. And then smack in the middle of this thing, we get Halo Infinite, which was a weird place to put it. And it's, okay, one first point. I think this is important to say just right out the gate because we saw this last year and everybody mocked it endlessly. It looks better. It looks visually pretty good. Not the best looking game I've ever seen, but pretty good. Outside of that, I've seen a lot of people that are talking about how excited they are for this multiplayer. And the cool thing that they're doing with the multiplayer, legitimately cool, is that it's free to play. You don't even have to have Game Pass. It's free to play, period, to do the Halo multiplayer. And Halo multiplayer has always been such a big, big, big part of what Halo is. I imagine, I don't know if they're going to try to sell this for $70. Obviously, it's going to be on Game Pass. Everybody has Game Pass that has an Xbox, you would think, at this point. So everybody's just going to play it on Game Pass to get the campaign mode there. But it's an interesting, just those five people that don't have Game Pass, how do you access this game? Whatever. They didn't show us much about the campaign, just a little bit of a kind of story teaser, but didn't show us really gameplay of the campaign. And then the multiplayer gameplay they did show us, which they kind of showed us some there, was all like sizzle reel stuff again. It was gameplay, but it wasn't like through the view of somebody playing. It was all, cinematic cameras swooping around and all that kind of stuff. And it just, it's really hard for me to get excited about playing a game when you don't show me how it plays. I know how Halo plays. I mean, it's not like we don't have an idea of what it feels like to play Halo, but I still want to see it like through the visor, so to say. I want to see it kind of in action a little bit more than just the hype reel version of it.
Okay, so when the original Halo came out, and this was almost
20 years ago.
It was 20 years ago.
Legit 20 years ago. This is the 20th anniversary.
All this stuff wasn't on the internet. I remember when that came out and they showed a video of that and it was...
Right.
I want to play that. And I feel that way about... Like, I'm watching this, and the thought that I had while we're sitting here watching this is I really need to go and pick up the Master Chief collection because I have it installed. It's installed on my PC. That was my thought, was I need to get back to Halo because I remember what that feeling was when that first game came out. There was nothing like it.
Yeah.
And I think I understand that everybody but us is getting paid. I get that. And that changes your view on things. But when this thing was over, that went back to the IGN guys that are all still at their house because IGN's in California and nothing's open in California for three more days. California opens on the 15th, which is tomorrow, I guess. So they'll be back at work, hopefully, but they were at their house and they're all geeked out, you know, and like that's their job. They're supposed to be geeked out live on camera. I get it, but it wasn't that feeling of that original. I want that.
Yeah.
If you can't give me that, I'm not interested.
Yeah. I agree. Maybe it turns out to be a really good game. And again, it'll be on Game Pass. And so it's kind of a no lose. You get to play Halo. You don't have to pay extra to play Halo. Great. That's fantastic. And again, the multiplayer, you don't have to pay extra at all. Even if you don't have Game Pass, but everybody's going to have Game Pass. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, I'll get to it when I get to it. It's supposed to come out this holiday. My goodness, did I need it to come out this holiday? But then I think you said it's going to be like a C game, a 70 game on Metacritic or something like that. That's what it looks like. Okay, that's fine. But if that's your flagship title, which Halo is, it's Microsoft's flagship title. What, again, just over and over and over, the kind of feel I got from this press conference is they're not really interested in putting out great games.
Just a lot of games.
Putting out okay games that are good. And then maybe with like Bethesda now or something like that, you get that one really, really solid title pure there.
And let's be honest, we're going to, Aaron, just a second, we're going to talk about two really, really, really good ones that they got from one developer that it makes it worth paying for Game Pass by themselves.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Next up was, of all things, Diablo 2 showed up at the Microsoft conference, which I wasn't expecting. Of course, this is Diablo 2 Resurrection, the remake of Diablo 2, which, again, honestly, of everything they showed, is one of the things I'm absolutely going to play.
We're going to play it, and they can have our money.
Yeah, because it's not Game Pass.
No.
And it's not exclusive.
No.
But it is coming to Xbox. So, but why would you not play Diablo 2 on PC, for crying out loud? I mean, Microsoft's fine with that too, but I mean.
Here's my problem. And it goes back to what we were just talking about. They're going to get our money. They're going to get our $70. This is not a game that I need to see at E3.
Yeah.
This is like, show this any other time, but right now. We knew it was coming. We're super jazzed. They already have our money. I don't need to see that in the Microsoft conference.
Yeah. It would have made a lot more sense in the PC gaming show, which it may show up. We haven't watched the PC gaming show except for just a little bit yet. So it may show up there too. But yeah, it was kind of like, okay, cool. We're pumped about it. It looks fun. Yep. It's Diablo 2. I mean, we know what it is. It's
and we will play it. That's
you can do an 8 players co-op in it. We didn't realize that. Yeah. That'll be nuts.
Yeah, that's one of those show things that we'll get everybody together.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That'd be good. After that, we saw a Plague Tale Requiem. Plague Tale was apparently pretty good. The trailer for this looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it was just a trailer, pre-rendered, pretty trailer, but didn't really give us much outside of that. We saw some Far Cry 6. This is the fourth time, if memory serves me right, there was a kind of standalone Far Cry 6 thing that happened last week. Mm-hmm. Showed up at the Game Fest kickoff, showed up at Ubisoft, obviously, and now showed up at Microsoft. So Far Cry is going to be the most saturated game at E3, if not the best game at E3. It is everywhere. And it looks fine. It's Far Cry. It's number three of the game. So number one was Battlefield. Number two is Diablo, which we just talked about. Number three is Far Cry of the three games of the 30 they showed that won't be on Game Pass day one. And so this one you got to go out and pay for. You know, I love Far Cry. I'm going to wait for that price to come down. I'll pick it up eventually, but I'm not going to pay full price for it.
Giancarlo is the Keanu Reeves of 2021. I mean, he's literally everywhere. And he's like one of the most entertaining people that you can talk to. And I don't really know that he knows that much about what he's doing about video games, but he fakes it really well.
Yes.
And he's one of those rare people that could just sit and talk for hours.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's why it's showing up everywhere. Yeah.
And it is a game that is completely built around him. We'll talk a little bit more. There's a few other Far Cry announcements that happened in the Ubi show. They're kind of interesting. We'll get into it. But Far Cry is a series that's been defined by its villains for, you know, at least the last four iterations of the game. I couldn't tell you anything about a single one of those protagonists, but I remember each one of the villains from those games quite well. That's the same thing that's not happening here, obviously. If Gus Fring is your main villain, it's going to be memorable.
I was thinking about this because I have lists and lists and lists of games that if we're ever together on a regular basis, that even if they're games that we've been through that I want to go through again, Far Cry is that franchise. Like, I'm going to start with three and just play them all.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of like a Final Fantasy in the sense that they're all Far Cry, but they're all extremely unique.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they don't really tie together in any meaningful way.
I think it would be a blast to sit and play through all of those.
Yeah.
Because, funny thing, that's how we started.
Right.
So,
yeah. That's very true. Our first conversation about video games was about Far Cry 2.
And the first game we played was Far Cry 2.
So that goes back a long ways in gaming uncensored history for sure.
Yeah.
Then we saw Slime Rancher 2, which is...
I owned the first game. I bought it.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, I really want you to spend some time with it. And then, no.
Your niece played it, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, I thought she kind of got into it. Cute.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's enjoyable.
It's going to be on Game Pass, so why not?
Yeah.
Same thing with Shredders, which is a snowboarding game. Yeah. I don't know. It's a snowboarding game. Like,
if we were 15, we'd probably be like, whoa!
Yeah. Just not something we saw one in Ubi, too. It's just kind of snowboarding and lots of other stuff in that Ubi one. After that, we got Atomic Heart, which... I don't really know anything about. It was really pretty.
It's weird.
It's very... I made a comment of it. It felt like somebody was trying to be Kojima. Was that the one that I said somebody was trying to be Kojima?
Yeah.
That like, but not really doing a good job of it. It felt like a kind of Kojima-ish knockoff.
Or a Suda 51.
Right.
Or, you know, one of those...
Like trying to be strange for the sake of being strange.
Yeah.
But... trying not to go all out like a Suda 51. And so it kind of just,
do you think we just off in the weeds, do you think we would be more successful as a show if we just endeavored to be weird? If we just did some weird stuff and people were like, hey, look at these guys, they're weird.
If you ever watch like random people on YouTube, there's plenty of people that try that.
Yeah.
Not really my thing, but you know, maybe. Who knows? Then we saw Replaced, which this one looked really, really cool.
Yeah.
Like kind of pixelated, pixel art-ish 2D, 3D combo here and there. Kind of throwback feeling.
Yep.
Very, very stylistic. This is one that I imagine when we do like our talking through game trailers on videos, I bet this one pops back up.
I know this one will pop back up because it's one of the trailers that didn't put us to sleep.
Yeah.
Look, there was a point in this press conference where you literally, you were sitting in a more comfortable chair You're like, okay, I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah.
Because it was that bad. And then this thing popped up. So, yeah, it will be back.
Yeah. After that, we got, I don't exactly know how you pronounce this, Iyuden Chronicle. It's from the guy that did Suikoden way back on the Sega Genesis, the RPG where you had tons and tons of characters, which was really great. I love the Suikoden. I have a friend that was super into Suikoden. Like, he played through all of those games. And so this one is Iyuden Chronicle 100 Heroes. There's actually two different games coming out. I don't understand quite the difference between them. One's called Rising and then the actual game. The actual game's not coming out until 2023. And it's like JRPG hand-drawn, like very pretty, but not like photorealistic game. To have that still not coming out till 2023, that seems like a long time. It'll be good, though. Yeah. Probably 100 hours and I'll never get to it, but it'll be good. Nope. Then we got The Ascent, which was top down, kind of cyberpunkish environment.
The Ascent has been on all the PlayStation 5 commercials. It's been everywhere. I don't know why they're pushing it so hard, but it's really like it's gonna be okay.
It's coming day one to Game Pass, which is cool. But yeah, it did do anything to get me really excited. After that, we got Age of Empires 4. That one did kind of get me excited. It looks really good.
The sad thing about Age of Empires 4 is if we knew that it wasn't going to be on Game Pass immediately, we probably would have paid for it back in the day.
That's one I might have paid for. I loved it about 20 years ago, honestly, the first game. We played a lot of it in college. I might pay for it, but that's a no-brainer to me on Game Pass. That's one I'll absolutely download and play very, very early, which is exciting. And then we get to Obsidian and The Outer Worlds 2, which had the best trailer of all of the games of the conference.
I don't even know how to describe other than it. I think it pretty much summed up E3.
Yes.
In this one trailer. And when we do the trailer show tomorrow, probably, because there's literally nothing going on tomorrow, that this will pop up. Yes. Because it pretty much describes E3.
Yeah, 100%. It was spot on, tongue-in-cheek, very self-aware. But all that to say, we know nothing about the details of The Outer Worlds 2. Nothing. But it exists and it's coming in The Outer Worlds, so it's a cool game. And so, awesome there. After that, we got Horizon 5, which, like Forza games, is beautiful. Really, really pretty. This is the Horizon part of it, so it's kind of arcadey too. It takes place in Mexico, and the environments are gorgeous and the cars are gorgeous, and it's gonna play somewhere between an arcade and a sim, and I've never quite been able to really get into Forza because of that.
Look,
and so but it'll be on Game Pass.
This is one that you download for a half hour to ogle at and go, man, that's really spectacular and that car's really cool, and then you never play it again.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Which is it the worst thing in the world if you're paying for Game Pass? You just wouldn't pay $70 for that game. But, you know, download it on Game Pass, check it out, and then don't play it anymore. So there you go. And then the kind of wrap-up thing, there's a couple of titles that we didn't get to. We'll talk about those maybe in a bit. But the wrap-up game, the one last thing, was a new Bethesda title. And so obviously with Bethesda, a lot of hype there going into this. We saw some Elder Scrolls Online stuff. We didn't see Elder Scrolls 6 at all. We saw a little bit of Starfield, but they did announce this new IP, which is called Redfall, and it's done by Arkane, which is great because we like Arkane,
right?
So that's exciting. It's like vampire based. The enemies are vampires. It's the vibe you get from it, which. And then it looks like a co-op shooter. Like, it's a co-op shooter that you're fighting vampires, which could be cool. And like, if you could do it Dishonored-ish, maybe. But it wasn't something that got me pumped.
It felt like a Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Because there's like these four very unique, or maybe five very unique characters that they're obviously kind of really leaning into, these big personality things. And okay, it didn't really get me that excited. Even though it's a developer I love, you know what I would have been excited about? Dishonored 3. I would have geeked out if that was the last thing. But a new IP, when they're already about to put out a new IP, granted that new IP is coming to a different platform than Xbox, and so I can't really talk about it, obviously. But it just, give us more Dishonored. Y'all do that really good, and those are fun games.
Did you finish the second game?
I finished the second game. I never played the DLC.
Okay.
What was it called? The chick's name?
Billy something.
Right,
Billy.
Yeah. Which I probably should at some point, because that second game was fantastic.
I haven't played it, but I really need to.
So good, and Dishonored is just so good. And then you're giving us a co-op shooter with vampires? Like, okay, maybe it's cool, but yeah, it wasn't like, would you say one last thing in Bethesda or whatever, or Arcane, and you get excited about something cool happening, and then it's a new IP that's, and like, I understand, like, because there's somebody right now yelling at their screen or yelling at their headphones or whatever, that we always talk about how we want new IPs. We do, and I don't think it's bad to have a new IP from Arcane here, but it just falls in line with everything else we've been talking about, that it's a game that kind of feels like, it looks okay. I'll pick it up on Game Pass, maybe.
Here's the thing. It's a game that they could have released in, like, January.
Yeah.
And had 6 months of promo before they released it. And it would have been cool, you know? And look, I'm not against vampires. When we were 15, I was a huge fan. I don't know about you, but I liked everything that had vampires, and I'm like, I'm watching that. so I'm all into the vampires. You know what I'm tired of is the co-op shooters.
Yeah,
that's I'm tired of the co-op shooters.
Yeah,
and that's what everybody's doing now, and there's no difference really from one to another. They're just different characters and different weapons, and like, that's it. Like, if they had said Arcane and vampires, and we're gonna take you to like the 1800s and, you know, to some sort of RPG Dishonored kind of a thing, like, I would have been like, woo! But this is like,
it's whatever. Yeah. Dishonored with vampires would be great. Whatever. Wrapping up, a couple of announcements for games that are already out. There's a Pirates of the Caribbean story coming for Sea of Thieves.
Cool.
Jack Sparrow, whatever.
Do you think that's actually Johnny Depp voicing that?
Definitely not. There's no chance they got Johnny Depp to do that for Sea of Thieves, a game that's been out for 2 years or whatever, and is still fairly obscure. Fair question. Fallout 76 is getting some new content, including the Steel Rain update, where Brotherhood of Steel factions are fighting each other, whatever. I don't know, Fallout 76, blah. But it's also getting The Pit from Fallout 3 DLC, which is kind of cool. A little harkening back to old school Fallout. Hades is coming to Game Pass. If you haven't played Hades, that's awesome, because it's such a fun game. So that'll give a lot of people that probably haven't touched it yet a chance to play it.
Do you think I have any shot?
It's pretty twitchy. Because like, one of the gameplay elements is like, you choose different weapons. And so depending on which weapon you choose, it kind of gives you your gameplay self. It's more range, more hand-to-hand combat, whatever. So there may be one or two of the weapons that would work a little bit better. But It's pretty twitchy. It's pretty fast-paced.
Yeah.
I would definitely give it a try.
Yeah,
there's no reason not to try it if it's not Game Pass.
Because you bought it, and I just couldn't do it because I didn't know. But on Game Pass, I definitely will.
Yeah, but definitely. I ended up playing it with a controller. I played it on PC, but I played it with a controller.
You've been doing that a lot lately.
I have. There's a lot of PC games I've been playing with controllers. But that was one that I started on mouse and keyboard. And I was like, this is terrible on mouse and keyboard. I picked up a controller and immediately it got better. Yeah. So it's a game that to me definitely works better on a controller, which tells you some of what you need to know, I think. And then Among Us is getting some stuff. Microsoft Flight Simulator is getting a Top Gun tie-in, which is kind of cool. You get to fly around this Maverick and flight sim.
I really would like for you to come back the end of June to see Fast 9.
Yeah.
And I would really like to go see Top Gun to get, because when we were growing up, I'm not speaking for you, but when I was growing up, there was a period there when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. That I watch Top Gun once a week.
Yeah.
I love me some Top Gun.
Yeah.
I just do. And it's stupid. Because he's old.
He's old.
But man, I just love it. And I just I don't care what's going on. I don't care if there's a coronavirus variant. I will go to the theater and sit in the theater for like, 2.5 hours with a mask on to see Top Gun.
Yeah.
I will do it.
That's fair. So that was the Microsoft press conference. Again, and I'm really curious to hear from you guys of whether or not you disagree with us.
Yeah.
Because it feels like the bulk of the internet right now disagrees with us. I mean, literally, there were people that were saying, this is the best E3 presser I remember.
Yeah,
and we just sat here and kind of went, it was okay. A lot of the games aren't exclusive. Not all. They have several exclusives, and that's one thing Microsoft's always struggled with. And this year they have more exclusives than they have in the past, especially with the Bethesda stuff that's going to make a difference for them. Good on them. Whatever. But a lot of the other good stuff, I mean, Diablo, Battlefield, and what was the other one? Far Cry.
Yeah.
Are going to be all over the place, and so you don't need Game Pass, you don't need an Xbox to play any of those games, and so, you know, like, there's some of the big stuff that they showed was whatever, and then we just got so little gameplay, and I think we complained about the same thing last year with Microsoft, and maybe this is where we differ a lot from a lot of the other people that are watching this stuff. I want to see gameplay.
Yeah,
way more than I love a sizzle reel. Like, I want to see you, like, try to sell me on the hype of it. And that's a great way to explain story, narrative, why you should care about these characters, all that stuff. There's a place for the sizzle reel thing. But what I really want to see is what this game is going to feel like. And when you don't show me that, it makes me worry that you think the gameplay is not that fun.
The Obsidian trailer, which we're going to show later... pretty much explains
makes all that point.
Why we feel the way we feel and all that. And I do. I really want to hear from you guys. We say it all the time. Every time we're on the mic, we want to hear from you guys. But seriously, we're sitting over here like he got to my house like, what, 6 hours ago?
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm overstating it. When I say we're sitting over here kind of legit bummed out because we've watched the majority of what E3 is going to be at this point, and we're really excited that we have a PS5 and a huge bottle of bourbon, because I think that's the only thing that's going to rescue the rest of the week. You know what I'm saying? Like,
for sure.
That's how we're feeling. So I really want to hear from you guys. If you differ from us, please tell us why we're lame. You can email us gaminguncensored@gmail.com and call the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
You can join us on Twitter. You can join us on Facebook. We really want to know. And we will do an E3 roundtable because we do every year. This is going to be our topic of discussion for the next month because we understand that it's mostly us that feel this way.
Yeah.
And we want you to tell us why we're wrong because we really, it's E3, it's our favorite time of the year. You're away from your 3-year-old, which is having serious drama right now because her daddy is gone and she can't figure out why. And
if you're watching the video, you saw an edit. If you're listening to the podcast, I'm hoping my editing skills are good enough that you didn't hear the edit, but you can't do that with video. You're going to see the edit. There was an edit in there because I got a call. The little girl needed some talk from her daddy.
You haven't been away from your kid this long for 3 years. And the reason it's happening now is because it's E3.
Yep.
The sex sidekick is probably on the edge of angry because we've done this for 16 years. But when it comes to this point every year, it's like, crap, it's E3. Everything else goes out the window.
Yep.
And so we want to be happy. So please, somebody explain to us how we're wrong.
Yes, for sure. And we've got PC Game Show to watch still. We've seen Ubisoft and Square. We'll talk about those.
Yeah.
Mixed bag. And then the saving grace, and this is what we said in episode one, is Nintendo on Tuesday.
Yep.
We need Nintendo to bring it. Come on, Nintendo. Don't let us down. We need something special from Nintendo.
Yeah. And at this point, if they don't, we're going to need a second bottle of bourbon. Like, seriously, it's I'm a little frustrated over here.
Yeah. But we should get to play lots of games,
yeah,
which will be fun, and talk about lots of games. We're going to make lots of content, by the way. If you're not on the Patreon, this is the best time of the year to join the Patreon. Go by gamingUncensored.com to do that. Quick shout out to the Patreon guys. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew. Didn't make it with one breath. Yeah. I tried real hard.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for your support. This is the time of year where all that really pays off, honestly, because we're going to be playing games together. We're going to be talking about that. We've got some gear here that we're working to capture video and do some cool stuff, some of which you guys help pay for. And so this is really the kind of culmination of what we do with the money that you give us. This is the time of year that we really make it worth it.
He's literally killing himself. trying to make this thing look good. Like,
yeah.
He's literally driving himself insane. And if he were another audio professional, he would be chain smoking right now because that's what they do.
Yes. That is true.
He really is working hard.
And we're going to play with some stuff. We may change things from this show. And just notice I've been watching kind of our video change because we're recording this at between like 8 and 9 that the sun's gone down. You have lots of natural light in your house. And so like the lighting has just changed massively since when we started. We've got the red light in the background, which is pretty cool at this point. But it's a very different look at the end of this video than it was at the beginning of this video.
We've worked hard to
make it happen. So, we're having fun this year. We're doing stuff a little bit differently, trying to step up what we do a little bit, and hopefully that's paying off. And so, we'll see.
All right. For right now, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and this is episode 2 of Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, brought to you by Tweets! And it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out.